The Kite Runner, Disc 10.
Sohrab had turned off the TV when I went back into the room. I sat on the edge of my bed and asked him to sit next to me. "Mr. Faisal thinks there's a way I can take you to America with me," I said. "He does?" Sohrab said, smiling faintly for the first time in days. "When can we go?" "Well, that's the thing. It might take a little while. But he said it could be done, and he's going to help us." I put my hand on the back of his neck. From outside, the call to prayer blared through the streets. "Well, how long?" Sohrab asked. "I don't know. A while." Sohrab shrugged and smiled, wider this time. "I don't mind. I can wait. It's like the sour apples."
"Sour apples?" I asked.
"One time, when I was really little," he said, "I climbed a tree and ate these green sour apples. My stomach swelled and became hard like a drum. It hurt a lot. Mother said that if I had just waited for the apples to ripen, I wouldn't have become sick. So now, whenever I really want something, I try to remember what she said about the apples."
"Sour apples," I said.
"Mashallah, you're just about the smartest little guy I've ever met, Sohrab John." His ears reddened with a blush. "Will you take me to that red bridge, the one with the fog?" he said.
"Absolutely," I said.
"Absolutely."
"And we'll drive up those streets, the ones where all you see is the hood of the car and the sky?"
"Every single one of them," I said. My eyes stung with tears and I blinked them away.
"Is English hard to learn?"
"I say within a year, you'll speak it as well as Farsi," I said.
"Really?"
"Yes." I placed a finger under his chin and turned his face up to mine.
"There is one other thing, Sohrab."
"What?"
"Well, Mr. Faisal thinks it would really help if we could ask you to stay in a home for kids for a while."
"Home for kids?" he said, his smile fading. "You mean an orphanage?"
"Well, it would only be for a little while."
"No," he said.
"No, please.
Sohrab, it would be for just a little while, I promise."
"You promised you'd never put me in one of those places, Amir Agha," he said.
His voice was breaking, tears pooling in his eyes. I felt like a prick.
"This is different. It would be here, in Islamabad, not in Kabul. And I would visit you all the time until we could get you out and take you to America."
"Please, please no," he croaked. "I'm scared of that place. They'll hurt me. I don't want to go."
"No one is going to hurt you. Not ever again."
"Yes, they will. They always say they won't, but they lie. They lie. Please, God."
I wiped the tear streaking down his cheek with my thumb.
"Sour apples, remember? It's just like the sour apples," I said softly.
"No, it's not. Not that place. God, oh God, please no."
He was trembling, snot and tears mixing on his face.
"Shh."
I pulled him close and wrapped my arms around his shaking body.
"Shh, it'll be all right. We'll go home together. You'll see, it'll be all right."
His voice was muffled against my chest, but I heard the panic in it.
"Please promise you won't. Oh God, Amir Agha, please promise you won't."
How could I promise? I held him against me, held him tightly, and rocked back and forth. He wept into my shirt until his tears dried, until his shaking stopped and his frantic pleas dwindled to indecipherable mumbles. I waited, rocked him until his breathing slowed and his body slackened. I remembered something I had read somewhere a long time ago. That's how children deal with terror. They fall asleep. I carried him to his bed and set him down. Then I lay in my own bed, looking out the window at the purple sky over Islamabad.